This is Chow Time. I'm your host, Brian Chow. Season 1, Mushroom Monologues. Dear R, okay Google, how do you say mushroom in Japanese?
Kinoko.
In my time in Japan, I was nicknamed Kinoko-san for my incessant talk about mushrooms. Stands to reason that I was working in Kawamura-sensei's mycotoxin lab. I remember I insisted on being placed in that lab, as it was the only lab that had something mycology related for my internship abroad. Kawamura-sensei happens to be the head of the food science department. Considering his background, he's a very good fit. He created and patented a mycotoxin detection kit for the industry, the Japanese industry. Think of pregnancy tests, but applied to mycotoxins, or those gluten-free tests or allergen kits. But instead of urinating on a kit, you stick the probe onto a food item and wait. A positive or negative result will show up to determine if there are mycotoxins prevalent. This kit has been used all around the Japanese industry. Before flying to Kagawa Prefecture, I tried my darn hardest to study up on mycotoxins. But to be honest, I was intimidated by the lab focus. I mean, what did I get myself into? I still have notes while working in the lab. I remember I took note of the different types of mycotoxins that I could be studying. Aflatoxin B1, citronin, fumosin B1, ochratoxin A, and zearalenone. Pardon the butchered names. These are big molecules that are planar, flat, and polar, which means they are more attracted to water. So in other words, they're big bad wolves of the food contamination world. And it is good to know that the scientific research and human ingenuity has lowered the risk of consumers ingesting mycotoxins. My notes after the list of mycotoxins dives into different lab procedures in using IAC-linked HPLC, which is an analytical lab equipment for separation of molecules, and ELISA testing, an assay that can detect the mycotoxins or toxins in general. All in all, the first day in meeting Kawamura-sensei has met my expectations. I, along with three other lab interns, were given loads of journals to read. Did I understand everything I was reading? No, but science is all about questioning and trying to figure out how things work. Question I did. There was one time that I was in the lab evaluating mycotoxins in ground coffee beans. Now, don't be alarmed. Improper storage of coffee beans can lead to the production of fungal colonies, which can produce mycotoxins. Improper storage means your coffee beans are wet, stored in humid environment, and or stored in temperatures that lead to sweating or condensation in the container, thereby allowing mold to grow. Obviously, moldy coffee beans are not going to be brewed. And just in case, tests are performed to detect if there are any mycotoxins spread all around any nearby vicinity. And if so, the cargo is usually destroyed. Drink coffee with a peace of mind. Now, if you're a distributor or a company, you would like to have that security or assurance that your product is not a death note. That's where these validated tests come into the equation. Quicker and better tests mean the cargo can be checked and sent or destroyed faster instead of it being held longer and making that product age longer. You don't really want old coffee beans anyway. The same thing can be said with allergen testing. No food company wants to wait days on end with a finished product in their warehouse when it could be shipped around and be sold faster. Otherwise, you know, they would have to wait, because what's worse is if they send something out fast without any approval, you'd have a potential for a recall. If a quicker test is available in the market, then products ship out faster and your coffee beans are fresher, if we're to reflect back on the coffee bean example. With that in mind, we tested with a control and many variables on coffee beans to validate if the testing results are correct. or if we, as lab interns, screwed up majorly. Thankfully, everything is in a controlled setting. I think my results were average to a little bit below average. That's why I'm not developing food safety testing kits. Well, with more practice, I could be, but I chose not to. For 5 weeks, I and fellow interns around the world were living, working, and playing in an area known as Takamatsushi, which resides in Kagawa Prefecture. Students from Thailand, Indonesia, China, United States, Brazil, and Turkey flew to partake in on this food safety and technology journey. We were placed in labs with different specialties, where to attend lectures including Japanese language, and if I had better neuroplasticity, I wouldn't have tried to brute force memorize katakana or hiragana. So woe is me. Though, through this cross-cultural lens, I've been shaped and molded to appreciate the complexity and strangely the simplicity of the food system. I know it's contradictory. The complexity of the food system is through all of the pieces that fit together in agriculture and manufacturing. The simplicity is the breakdown of the chemical components and routine programs in production lines. Their extreme work ethic is on a different level, an intricately methodical and patient process. But you may already know this. In and around the area, the nooks and crannies of the food industry is prevalent. Many factories to large industrial complexes produce the different types of foods, from udon noodles to dumplings, and from olive oil to soy sauce. Among the alleyways of small stalls and indoor farmers markets, there are rice fields. I was interning in a more rural area than the city area of Takamatsu, and that gave me pause and thought about the United States and their setup. The food industry is not as commonly seen as restaurants or grocery stores. These facilities are located in industrial areas or hidden from sight. If you live in a city, there's not much farmland either. And unless you really look hard and do a Google search, you won't find many food manufacturing facilities. Sometimes, Google searches don't show up all that many locations for co-packing. These buildings and spaces with smells of baked goods or chocolate can waft into your homes if you live nearby. Sound of the work inside only gets louder and louder as you walk closer and closer into the doors and on the plant floors. I didn't appreciate the hidden places. I didn't really acknowledge the hidden places where food and its components as raw ingredients are made. It was not until going to Japan and visiting these facilities did I really recognize the complexity and simplicity of food. Living in another environment where mushrooms are enjoyed and a variety are on display, like shiitake, enoki, matsutake, maitake, and so on and so forth, is quite a nice change, especially when I get to cook and eat them on a more regular basis. And saying chou oishii desu, meaning very delicious, isn't enough to justify the emphasis on how much I enjoyed the food. Likewise, saying arigatou gozaimasu isn't enough gratitude for my experiences. The safety precautionary measures taken is on a whole new level in Japan. I recall a visit to Ajinomoto and putting on extensive layers of outer clothing to prevent hair from dropping onto food. I felt like a surgeon preparing for the exam room. There was a specific person whose sole duty was to roll lint off of you as you enter the plant floor. Of course, entering requires you to go through a wind tunnel to make sure you are free of debris. And before entering that room, which preceded the plant floor, you would wash your hands and use a Purell dispenser to activate the doors. This Purell dispenser is also seen in the bathrooms, so you can't really leave the bathrooms unless you use the Purell dispenser. And did I mention that there's a hair lab where if a customer sends back a product with hair in it, the lab tests are going to be performed on that hair to determine whether it's fallen into the food before or after a particular time frame. The lab result is then handed with free samples and a full refund to that customer. Oh, and there are X-ray machines with people monitoring them to scan for anything that could have fallen on the product itself, in addition to metal detectors. Nonetheless, studying mycotoxins and understanding how to detect mycotoxins is important. And to a larger extent, food safety is a top priority. It's grained into me as a student at UC Davis, and for good reason. No one wants to hire a food scientist who puts people at high risk of food safety issues. Okay, Google, define toxicology risk.
Here's a summary from calpoly.edu. Risk assessment. Toxicology data helps estimate the risk of exposure to certain chemicals. Risk by itself is defined as the probability of suffering harm or loss. Environmental engineers determine the total risk of exposure to a certain event or substance.
So, when referring to risk, what I mean is, in the context of toxicology, risk is more of the likelihood or the chance of being in harm's way. The lab opportunity in Japan to fine-tune more attention to detail on mycotoxins is a rare opportunity. Fungi are like a double-edged sword. On one edge, there's the holistic, medicinal, and nutritional value. On the other edge, there's mycotoxins, the poisons, the inedibility. And on the tip of the sword, there's psychedelics. There's still a lot to learn about mycotoxins. There's no cure or antidote at the moment. There's only testing kits to allow us to destroy a product that has been contaminated. I could go on and try to explain to you about my limited understanding on mycotoxins, but I'm not. I'm humbled and honored to the point where I'm speechless at all the uncertainty and possibilities. There's so much I don't know about fungi, but that curiosity and drive brings about the passion and love of the kingdom. Only Japan heightens that experience, especially when I got a special lab tour of a mushroom lab by Watanabe Sensei. He usually doesn't host students in his lab, but I got a rare chance to see it, as I was and still am regarded as Kinoko-san. With gratitude, Brian Chow.
P.S. Chow Time is produced and edited by Brian Chow. Logo design was done by Charles Boone. Music was produced by JD Gonzalez. If you liked bits and pieces of this podcast and would like to support Chow Time, please visit my Patreon page at patreon.com/chowtimes. Follow me on Instagram at thisischowtime. Follow and give me a tweet on what you like or didn't like at chowtimes. And check out my website at www.chow-time.com. You can listen to Chow Time every week through wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to subscribe and or write a review. Thank you.